For our message this morning, I want to focus on one of the miracle events of Jesus in the life of Christ found in the fifth chapter in the Gospel of Luke. Now, it's quite an interesting story. In fact, we could say that it's a whopper of a fish story. Because at face value, some of the details just don't seem to add up. Now, it's not necessarily the miracles of Jesus that people have problems with. This miraculous catch of fish doesn't bother anybody. But what seems to be fishy about this story is Peter's instantaneous conversion to follow Jesus, to leave everything, from going from a redneck fisherman to a fisher of men. That's kind of the fishy thing about this whole story. But let's read from the gospel. Let's see what Luke chapter 5 has to say. One day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Now, if I pause for a minute, you can just imagine Jesus staring at Peter at this point. Simon Peter, so this is. So you can just imagine Jesus standing there just staring at Peter as Peter's, coming up with all these excuses why he doesn't want to put the boat out and drop the nets again. And then after probably a sigh, Peter says, "All right, because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats onto shore and they left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything and followed Jesus. What a great fishing story. What a great miracle. What a great catch of fish. However, Peter's reaction was immediately to leave everything and follow Jesus. That's what seems a little fishy in the story. Too quick a decision. In fact, Peter doesn't do the usual things that we do when we make major life changes, particularly career changes. First and foremost, Peter didn't even consult his wife. Like Gary, he's in trouble already. Secondly, Peter doesn't even pray about this decision. So, he just simply leaves everything and follows Jesus. So, from this, I think that there's some other things that maybe had been going on in Peter's life that I think we should take a look at this morning. To learn a little bit more about Peter and what may have been stirring in his heart that day when he encountered Jesus, we actually have to go back a chapter in the fourth chapter of Luke where it says, Jesus left the synagogue and he went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever and they asked Jesus to help her. So Jesus bent over and rebuked the fever and it left her. That's just before in chapter 4. So, now, since this house ended up being the headquarters, if you want to say, for Jesus' disciples, many of the scholars believed that Peter and his wife lived with her mother in this house. Now, there's nothing wrong with a guy living with his sick mother-in-law. But in the man's world of Bible times, this did not really project a rousing sense of success in Peter's life. Also, Peter's lack of success maybe was hinted at further in the fact that he didn't own his own business. He worked for Zebedee and his sons, James and John. And worse yet, regarding Peter's success and maybe where his heart was that day, was the fact that not only was he living with his sick mother-in-law, not only was he working for Zebedee and Sons Fishing Company, but he strikes out by not catching a single thing all night when he's out fishing. And remember, for Peter, fishing isn't just a weekend hobby. This is his profession. So when he comes up empty, that means there's no commission check. There's no paycheck that he takes home. So maybe we're getting a little bit clearer picture that maybe what was going on in Peter's life that day. I think it's safe to say that Peter was experiencing a sense of maybe failure when he encountered Jesus. So the first thing that we can draw from this passage in the Gospel of Luke in the 5th chapter is that Jesus comes to us at the lowest points of our life. What we see here is that Peter was soul-searching. You can almost maybe hear what maybe Peter was struggling with when he was out on that boat that night. Should I pursue a different career? You know, I really need to get back on track with my finances. I can't raise a family living in my mother-in-law's house. I hate fishing. I'm no good at it. I never liked it in the first place. I just feel as though I'm not fulfilling the purpose that God has for my life. Have any of you ever had that kind of a conversation with yourself? Or maybe even had that conversation with God? I think maybe that may have been what was stirring in Peter's heart. What he was experiencing in the sense of failures and aspects of his life. We've all been there. We've all had those feelings when we work hard all night and we end up with empty nets. We've been where Peter has been, toiled, worked hard, tried to succeed, and everything still comes up empty. Like Peter, we all fail at times. And it's just at that time in our life that maybe we feel as though we're not succeeding that Jesus comes to us. When our hearts are most opened and ready to hear his invitation. And the second thing that we notice here is that regardless of Peter's failures, Jesus still calls him to be his disciple. There's a difference between failing and being a failure. And that's what Peter needed to hear in that moment on that lakeshore. Jesus looks beyond the failures. Jesus looks beyond our inadequacies, and he sees us as people of potential and worth. Jesus calls us, even with all of our imperfections. In fact, those are the people that Jesus is looking for. He's looking for folks that are broken and weak. He's looking for imperfect people. You see, Jesus doesn't call us because we have a plan. Jesus calls us because he wants us to get on board with his plan. He's looking for folks who are willing to be obedient and faithful unto him. We've all heard the cliche that Jesus doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Jesus is looking for people with open hearts. He's looking for people who will get on board with his plan. And so after Jesus has finished preaching to the crowd on the boat of Peter, he says to him, let's put out from shore a little bit and drop down our nets. Now again, remember, Peter's fished all night long. He's tried every hook, he's tried every lure, every bobber, every technique that he has in the tackle box, and still everything is empty. He spent all night, and he does not want to drag those nets out one more time. He's already feeling exhausted with all of his own efforts. He's feeling like a failure. And yet, Jesus still calls him to try again. If I'd been Peter, I think I probably would have responded to Jesus by saying that catchphrase, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, not interested any longer. But besides all of his failures, Peter says yes. The other thing that seems interesting here is that when Peter says yes, it's going beyond everything from Galilee, field, and stream. On the Sea of Galilee, you fish at night. You don't fish during the day. And so here Peter has empty nets. He's kind of looking like a failure, even amongst the other fishermen that are around. And so when Jesus says, let's go out to deeper water and drop down the nets again, it's going to be during the day. So already he kind of looks like a fool and a failure. But now people are going to say, what in the world is he doing fishing during the day? But again, Peter says, yes, at your word, I will let down the nets. Even after disappointment, even after discouragement, even after looking like a fool and a failure, Peter says yes. It makes you kind of wonder, what was the sermon that Jesus preached from the boat? Because it obviously had an impact upon Peter's life. In fact, we know exactly what Jesus' sermon was on that boat that day on the Sea of Galilee. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter. And so this is what Jesus preached about. Well, there's various different parables he preached about. But it's the last parable that I think really hooked Peter's heart. So Matthew 13, beginning at verse 47, verses 47 through 49, it says, once again, Jesus says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down in the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up onto shore, and when they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, they threw away the bad. And this is how it will be at the end of the age. Interesting. That was the sermon just before Jesus turns to Peter and he says, put out into the deep water and let down your nets. You can almost imagine Jesus smirking when he made this request to Peter, because Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. So in spite of everything, Peter agrees, and contrary to his thinking, I don't know about you, when you've been in a moment of failure and you've struggled with life, you really don't expect things to happen. Okay, Lord, we'll do it. We'll put the boat out. We'll drop down the nets. And contrary to what Peter's thinking was, things did happen. There were so many fish that Peter almost sank the entire fleet of Zebedee and Sons Fishing Company. It was the most successful day in Peter's life, but not as a fisherman, but as a fisher of men. This was the moment. This was the transforming moment for Peter's life. This is what he'd been waiting for, that hungering within his heart. He wasn't hungry for lake trout. He was hungry for a sense of purpose in his life. And then Peter walked away from it all. If you're a fisherman, you've caught this much fish, this is like hitting the lottery. This is the commissions of all commissions. And then he walked away. And so the final thing that we see here this morning, that Peter realized in that moment, he realized the true success that Jesus was offering him. A life, an abundant life, and a life of purpose and meaning when he decided to follow Jesus. Peter had come to that crucial moment in his life when he realized that everything he'd been doing, everything he'd been striving after, was not satisfying the hunger within his heart. It was amazing to me the number of people who strive their whole life and still aren't satisfied with the life in which they have. Almost similar to what Peter's struggling with. You work and you work and you work and you strive and you strive and strive, and it still feels like all you have is empty nets. There was a reporter back in the 1930s. Maybe you've probably heard this illustration before. Us preachers love this one. Back in the 1930s, there was a newspaper reporter that asked John D. Rockefeller. He asked him this question. He said, with all your wealth, with all your possessions, how much is enough? Now, some of the younger folks here don't realize that John D. Rockefeller back in the 1930s was the Bill Gates of, he was the richest man on the planet. And so when this reporter asked this question, it's amazing how John D. Rockefeller's response was very telling of the human heart. John D. Rockefeller responded to that question by saying, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Even when you have billions upon billions of dollars, it doesn't satisfy the heart. But there's nothing wrong with being successful in business. There's nothing wrong with being financially successful. There's nothing wrong with being at the top of your game in this life, as long as that worldly success isn't at the expense of your family, isn't at the expense of your marriage, isn't at the expense of what God's call is upon your life. And I think Peter had come to that point when he realized everything he was striving after wasn't satisfying. And like many of us maybe, Peter also came to realize that everything he was doing was relying upon himself versus relying upon God. I think we do that a lot as well. We rely upon ourselves, our abilities, our techniques, our plan versus God's plan. Where are you at this morning? Has it been a long night of fishing and all you have is empty nets? Do you feel weary? Do you feel spent? Do you feel discouraged? Do you feel like a failure in life? No joy, just frustration? Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. God hasn't given up on you. In fact, it's at those moments of life when it seems as though things aren't working that's exactly when Jesus comes to us. That's exactly when Jesus calls us, because he has a plan. He's not asking for our plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us to get on board. Jesus will call us to transform our life. The miracle that day on that lake, the miracle wasn't the catch of fish. I know we kind of see that in the story. The miracle was the transformation in Peter's heart. That was the real miracle that day. The fact that he was willing to step away from everything and to follow Jesus. His heart was transformed. His life was transformed. And he went on from that day to live a truly successful life as he followed Jesus. Jesus was ready to perform miracles, even today. In our lives, all we have to do is be willing to follow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And as we study your word, we discover that we can see our lives in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the transforming power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you call us to step away from the things that are distracting us from you and to follow you and to live an abundant life of joy. And so, Lord, challenge us today to see you, to hear you, and to follow where you call. Amen.